after the war, I married Bob Patterson, and we lived at Warwick, and that is where the Kelpie dog originated. Mr. Robertson from Scotland, he was a cabinet maker, and he took up the land at Warwick, and he wanted to breed good dogs to make life easier doing his sheep work. And he didn't want other people to have the dog, and he wanted to keep the breed pure, so he wouldn't give away the bitches. But he had his nephew who was working for him and actually managing the property for him, and he did give him a bitch pup, and he told him to call it Kelpie.
So he was the Patterson?
Yes.
Yes,
George Patterson. And he was out training the dog, and Jack Beeson, who was a shepherd on the adjoining property, saw him with this little dog, and it was working so well. He went across and said he really wanted a dog, and they're very hard to get good dogs, and he wondered if he would sell it to him, and he said no, he couldn't, because his uncle didn't give it away. Anyway, he had a beautiful horse, and George Patterson admired his horse, and so then eventually he went back another day and said, look, will you swap? I'll give you my horse if you'll let me have your dog. And George said, you know, that the horse is worth a lot more than the dog. And he said, no, but I'm desperate to have a good dog. I've got another horse, but I need it. And so they swapped. And then Jack Gleason went up into New South Wales, and he bred the dog up there. He got dogs from good studs, from the Rutherford stud, actually. And so that's how the breed started.
Well, that story has actually been around for quite a while, but you've expanded it into a book. How long did it take you to write that book?
About 10 months.
Not all that long, really, in the scheme of things.
Now, well, I sat at it. I really wanted to get it written, and I enjoyed doing it. And I did a lot of research. I got books out from the library. It was the story that my father-in-law had told me about how his father had swapped the dog for the horse, so I knew it was a true story.
Yes, you call it an historical novel, but how much is fact and how much is fiction?
Now, the potato famine in Ireland...
Yes, well, you start the book in Ireland with the Gleeson family, but that isn't your family. How did you go about getting those family details?
I did contact the Gleeson family, and they sent me some information. But the story about the potato famine, that is history, and I got that out of history books and out of books in the library. And then they're coming out to Australia. Well, my great-grandfather, he kept a journal of his trip out, and so I got a lot of information from that. And then arriving in Australia, well, you know, the Australian history, the various bits and pieces. And also, I'm 91, and so I can remember stories that my grandfathers told me and my grandmother. So I knew about the isolation and lack of communication and the Eureka stockade. Of course, I got a book out and read that.
Yes, you've woven quite a lot of Australian history into it, and all the local areas that people in our region would know of, Koroit, Crosley, Dunrobin, Casterton, you've put those in. Now, how much of that was fact?
A lot of that is true, because it's a district I know very well myself, having lived here in Casterton for, well, I married Bob and lived just outside Casterton for 48, so that's a long time ago. And I did also read Major Mitchell's diary when he went through and the description, you know, the history of Casterton. It's very easy to get books about Casterton.
And the Gleeson family, because you've got some fairly, well, shall we say, colourful characters in there. Any dispute about your version of events or the characters that you've attributed to that family?
No. When I completed the book, I rang the Gleesons, and then I sent her a book when it was finished, and she wrote back and said she and her husband both read it and thought it was very good and wanted four copies. So I thought, well, I haven't offended the Gleason family.
Any plans for another novel?
No. I'm trying to write my memoirs for my family, but that can get very big. I've got to keep it down.
And but, I have heard that you had a pretty fascinating life too.
Well,
with
yes,
your war involvement.
I was in the Navy, and I was sent to Monterey, which was an art station of Bletchley Park, where we did decoding. We picked up all the Japanese messages and decoded them. Army or the Navy were able to send warnings to our troops to what the Japanese were planning to do.